Matthew chapter 22 and the first verse reads, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." And I'd like to use as a topic, taken from the beginning of the fifth verse where it says, "But they made light of it and went their ways." Father, I come in Jesus' name, and Lord, just asking for your help and grace today. Oh, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit on me, working in me, reviving me, and flowing through me so that I can speak this your word. Lord, I just pray that the blessing of God flow to the people today. And let us all have hearts to receive what the Spirit is speaking to us this day. Lord, we yield everything to you for your glory. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. And that's the name I pray. Amen. Amen. In this particular section of Matthew, here in the latter part of Matthew 21, and then what I read in Matthew 22, we see three parables, all that pertain to a son. The first one had to do with Jesus confronting the Pharisees and the leaders of that day, and posing this parable to them, and saying, "A vineyard owner had two sons. He said to the one, go out into the vineyard and work. And he said, I ain't doing it. And to another one, he said, go out and work. And he said, well, I will do it. And the one who said wouldn't do it repented and he went out and worked. And the one who said he would do it didn't go out and work. And Jesus asked them, which one did the Father's will? And they pointed out that it was the one who went out and worked. And from that, he brought up John the Baptist. And he said, John came out and he called you to repent. And he said, he was speaking to the Pharisees and those leaders and said, but who came out? The publicans and the harlots, you know, those are the ones that came out. They repented. And they're the ones doing. He called you, but you're not doing. So he was bringing out this time of John the Baptist, and really that which represented all the prophets of Israel, because John being the greatest prophet, Jesus would say, who called Israel to repentance. He was calling to repentance there. He then continued the time frame, the gospel message from John the Baptist to his own ministry, when he gave the parable of, again, husbandman who gave out his vineyards to others to care. He went on a long journey, and so he sent back for the fruits of the field. And when he sent his servants, they killed them. He sent some more servants, they killed them. And he said, "Well, I'll send my son. They'll at least reverence the son." But they killed him too. Jesus again telling that this is what they did to the prophets, and that's what they're going to do to him as well. And then, of course, the rest of the parable goes that when he came to give an accounting, then, you know, he got rid of those worthless servants. Which brings to the third parable, and that's the one I just read that pertained to a son. And this is the one to come. The one spoke of John the Baptist, the one spoke of Jesus' ministry here on earth, and the other speaks of Jesus' ministry as he is to come. And that simply was saying that the parable speaks of the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage for his son. And so he sent forth his servants, and they went out to all those that were bidden to the wedding, but they wouldn't come. So he said to his, another group of servants, you know, because they're looking, well, where are they at? They're not coming. So he said, some other servants said, well, let them know that I've killed the oxen and all the fatted things. I have everything prepared. It's good. It's a wonderful wedding feast. Bid them to come. But they didn't come. As a matter of fact, there's a very interesting statement that it says. It says, they made light of it and went about to their farms and their merchandise. To make light of something means it's insignificant. You're making light of it. Something's insignificant. It just doesn't matter. And I guess when I think of, I'll say it this way. I guess when I think of the day we're living in, I think of this parable because there are people who have been bidden to the great marriage supper. They've been bidden to God. They know of God. They know of Jesus. But it's just a light thing. And they're very busy about their farms and their merchandise. People are busy nowadays. Real busy. And who is Jesus? Who is God? He's there. Yeah, he's called. Yeah, if I get in trouble, I'll pray. Absolute prayerlessness runs rampant in this land. Absolute biblical ignorance runs rampant in this land. At least as far as I can see. And what I seem to, I'm not all over the land. But what of it's been presented to me has told me, here's what's going on in our nation today and probably all over the world. It's a light thing. I'm busy with my merchandise and my farms. I'm busy with my life. I really just, not that interested in God. I found it interesting in the testimony that Vonda was reading. Let her be healed right now in Jesus' name. But I found it very interesting in what she was reading. When she read about how the individual said, "Yeah, I'll take counseling, but not faith-based counseling." Well, If you're saying, well, I'm happy to get help, why would you care what help? If you're looking to be delivered, why would you care whether it's the world's intellect or whether it's the power of God? You want to be helped. You want to be delivered. You want to be set free. And so I found that interesting. But there's a reason. God's insignificant. Don't need him. He's a light thing. As a matter of fact, one of the things they have done, it says they treated his servants spitefully. Spitefully. Mocked them. Criticized them. Get out of here with that marriage feast stuff. I'm busy with my stuff. I don't want to hear what you got to sell. Go tell somebody, go peddle your paper somewhere else. That's an old phrase from my grandma. But some of them they even killed. I have no idea how many people are going to be killed today just because of their testimony for Christ. Maybe not in this nation, but in other nations of the world. Indifferent, absolutely indifferent to God. Before I move off this point, I'll say this. I think this may be the most significant sin of this day we live in. That people live their lives with no thought at all about God. The kingdom of God and the glorious King. And his invitation to him. That I consider one of the greatest sins of the day. Nobody just cares about God. Nobody thinks about him. It's just not serious and I don't want to hear him. Well, having said all that, we read that the king had wrath. The king got mad. And in the wrath of the king, he destroyed their cities. He burned their cities and destroyed their murderers. Now there's a couple thoughts on that. One of them, there being that had to do with the Jewish people in 70 AD when Jerusalem was taken and the temple burned down and destroyed, that it was prophesying of that which was to come. That the children of Israel were bidden, but because they rejected the Son that was sent, they rejected his coming, and that would be how they were destroyed. So there is some thought on that. Regardless, I'll just simply say this and move on. The king had wrath against those who rejected his invitation. Let me say that again. Wrath was upon those who rejected the invitation. So he said to the servants, go on out into the highways and whoever you can find to come, give them the invitation. And so the servants went out into the highways and they went out and found whoever they could find. And that would be both bad and good. I have a couple thoughts on that there. One would be the Jew, the good is the Jews, and the bad would be the Gentiles who were idolaters, meaning that the gospel was available for all. And the other is still the same thing. The gospel is available by all. It don't matter whether you're a good person or you were a major drug addict, a murderer, whatever you may have been. No matter how bad you are or how good you are, you need Jesus, and therefore his invitation of salvation is come to all. And so the invitation was given, and so many had come, and so God, like I said, a lot of this, there's thoughts of how God turned from the Jews to the Gentiles, but I want to say this, Well, no, let me not say it. I'll turn to the book of Romans. Chapter 11. We'll let the Word of God say it. Because I want to be careful of saying, well, God turned from the Jews to the Gentiles, which, because technically he didn't. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it doesn't matter Jew or Gentile. In Matthew, but in Romans, 11:13 says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert graft in among them, and with them partakest of the root, the fat and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Because of unbelief, the gospel came to the Gentiles. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. You're standing by faith, but yet he's saying fear. Don't be high-minded, but have fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and behold the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity. But toward thee, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. So what he was saying there is that there were those who were bidden and they rejected. And he's saying those who came in, who didn't reject, well, you better beware lest you also be cut off. And that's what we see in the next section. Because the house was filled then with guests. And the king came in. And there was a man there who was not wearing the wedding garment. And he asked him, "How'd you get in here without wearing a wedding garment?" Now, I'm not an expert in Jewish culture, ancient Jewish wedding culture. I know a little bit of what I read. To my understanding, because you had to travel great distances to come, you know, it wasn't like you popped in your car and went 20 miles, you know, so you would be dirty. The host actually provided you with the garment. Let me say that again, just in case you missed it. It's kind of important. The host, so in this case the king, provided you with the garment, for the wedding garment. So if there was an individual not wearing, so when he asked, "How is it you're here and you're not wearing the garment?" Because it's not like you can say, "Well, oh, I left it in my other suitcase at the house. I thought I put it in my trunk last night, but I mean, it wasn't like that. You were there. The host, the king, had provided you the garment that you were to wear at the wedding feast for the son. And you weren't wearing it. So he's asking, "How'd you get in?" And what did he say? Did he say, "Yeah, it doesn't fit right"? Or, "You know, I don't care for that. It's just not my style." After, you know, "Here's another garment I like better. This garment's actually better than the garment you provided." I'm at the wedding. Does it really matter what garment I wear? As long as I'm at the wedding. Now, see, he might have been thinking that when he decided he wasn't going to put the garment on. But when he was confronted by the king, how'd you get here without having the garment on? He was speechless. He said absolutely nothing. And one day when we stand before God and he confronts, and I'll get into what he's confronting about in a moment, you're not going to say, well, I thought, I was told, well, I heard a preacher that said, no, you're going to say absolutely nothing. Except holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Turn with me to Revelation 19. I want to look at this, and then I'll share my 3-minute message after going through all this introductory. Revelation 19. And verse 7 says this, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, you got to be ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. There's a garment that she's wearing. Clean and white. Fine linen, righteous. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. Notice at the marriage supper of the Lamb, they're wearing something. The righteousness of the saints. If I go back to Revelation chapter 7. And I realize this appears as though this may be martyrs, but Revelation 7:13 says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they bold. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Oh, hallelujah. They shall hunger no more. Neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There's something to wear. It was the robes of righteousness. How do you put them on? Well, he who knew no sin, he that was without sin, became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You want to know how we're made righteous? Even the likes of me is made righteous? By the one who was without sin. He became the sin. That I may be, substitutionary atonement, but I'm not getting into that right now. But that's what you put on. That's what you put on. And that's why he would go on, that's why the king would go on to say, when he was speechless, he had no excuses. I've provided you the garment. I've provided you the robe white and clean. I know you don't have the righteousness. I've provided the righteousness. Then I filled you with the Holy Ghost and gave you my word and the spirit by which you be led. And oh, I have the whole thing prepared for you. I gave it all to you. No wonder you can't say nothing if you don't put it on. He made this proclamation to the one who didn't have the garment on. He said to his servants, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness where there's wailing, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's the results. But no, wait a minute. He was there. Don't I get to go? I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the wedding. I just didn't want to wear that ugly white righteousness garment. I like this one better. I like the Confucius garment better. I like the Muhammad garment better. I like the good works garment better. I should be able to. All those garments should be fine at the wedding. They all should be good. I'm a good person. Here it says so on my wedding feast t-shirt. I'm a good person. I don't go to the cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. It says so on my garment. I've had people tell me what a wonderful garment it is. I'm going to say something, and I know what's meant by this, but I always make this comment when somebody says it, so if I've ever said it to you, you'll know it. But when people make the choice, or people say, people choose whether they want to go to heaven or hell. And I understand what that's being said, what's meant by that. And I'll get to that in a moment. But I always say, no, because everybody would choose heaven. Everybody, I mean, who would say, I choose hell? No, we don't make the choice. Heaven and hell is not my choice. I'll jump ahead to my here while I'm on this. Many are called, but it doesn't say few choose. Few are chosen. You know who decides whether you get into heaven or hell? The King. All judgment is given to the Son. He decides whether we make it or not. How can I know? How can I know? If he's the one choosing, how can I have an assurance that I'm going to be part of that wedding feast? How can I be sure? If he's the one choosing, is there anything I can do? Well, let's look one last place. Back to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 verse 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. First you wake up. You wake up. There's an invitation being given. How can I know? Well, there's an invitation going out that says, hey, you're lost in sin. You'll die in your sin, but you can die in Christ, who is the atoning sacrifice for your sin, that you might have eternal life in him. You might be made the righteousness of God in him. So wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on Oh, we're putting something on. The armor of light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Those aren't works of righteousness. But verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not put on the world religions. Not put on the TV set and hear what all they got to say. Not put on your good works and your own self-righteousness. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See, this is the choice. This is where our choice is. What are you putting on? You got up this morning and you looked at the clothing in your closet and you're in your drawer or wherever you have it. And you said, what am I going to put on? Well, you could have said this morning, what am I going to put on? I can put on fear and doubting. I can put on doubt and unbelief. You know what? I can put on the world's religions, or I can put on Jesus Christ, because God has said this. I'll give you the garment. I will tell you what I'm providing for you. I'm not providing you man's philosophies. I'm not providing you world's religions, but I'll provide myself on a cross of Calvary as an atonement for your sin. I'll provide for you a risen Lord so that you can have eternal life in Him. What are you going to put on? I know you want, do you really want heaven? I'm bidding you. I'm bidding you. You want heaven? Do you want to go to the place of outer darkness? No, I don't want that. That's not your choice. That's God's choice. Your choice is, are you going to wear the garment? Are you going to put on the garment that God has provided for you? Are you going to wear your own garment? You wearing your own garment. Because he says, if you're not wearing the wedding garment, if you're not wearing that fine linen, white and clean, which is the righteousness of the saints, the fine linen or the white garment that they got by the blood of the Lamb, 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 that's the garment to put on. That's where the choice is. It's not, do you want to go to heaven or hell? Yo, everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody chooses heaven. Let me get back to that. You don't need to show it to me. I'll take counseling, but don't give me faith-based counseling. That's the choice. Do you want to put the garment on or don't you? Because the garment is Christ. Put on Christ and you'll not fulfill you'll make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. But what about Jesus Christ? That's all right. We'll make light of it and go our own way. That's not putting him on. The invitation is given. The invitation is given. I guess I'll just put this out for the podcast. If anybody happens to be listening to this, the invitation is given to you right now. Put on Christ. I'm not asking if you want to go to heaven or hell. I know where you want to go. But if that's where you want to go, God's provided the way. Jesus None other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Believe on him, receive him. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I come right now, and Lord, I just ask, Lord, we desire souls. And I pray right now that we understand better the importance of being in Christ. Because if we're not in Christ, we're in our sin. We're in one or the other. We're either properly attired or we're not properly attired. We either have the wedding garment on, the righteousness that's in Christ, or we're unclean. Lord, I just pray, Lord, help us to convey that.